I want to talk a little bit about methodology for a little bit. This is an exploratory study that Diana Danforth and I have been working on the COTMAN program, sort of a portion of a benefit cost analysis of the COTMAN program. And the way I've approached this is that we conducted a meta-analysis on some of the studies that have been published. In meta-analysis, question is, for the researchers here, how many of you have conducted a meta-analysis? How many of you know what a meta-analysis is? Okay, well that kind of intimidates me because you probably know more about this than I do, the four of you who were willing to raise your hand on that. But I'm gonna explain the methodology just a little bit, the value of meta-analysis, and I'll kind of get into some of the aspects of the COTMAN program that we have discovered. So what is meta-analysis? Anybody want to answer this for me? Take a stab at it. Well, literally, meta-analysis means it's an analysis of analyses. It is a form of statistical analysis. It is a set of tools rather than a theory. So this is a very quantitative way of analyzing previous studies with quantitative tools. It refers to a collection of techniques for providing quantitative review of the literature and an assessment of what the bottom line of a series of previous studies truly is. A lot of people refer to it as a quantitative literature review, but it's really more than that. It's a way of determining the true underlying result of multiple studies. Have you ever thought you have, maybe you've conducted your own studies and compared them to someone else's, and like, there's got to be a common ground between these? Well, meta-analysis will help to point in the right direction if there is a true underlying answer out there. So we thought we would try to do this with the COTMAN program and see how that any results came out. A pure meta-analysis will contain these elements. A statistical portion, the toolbox. It will be rigorous or objective or systematic. It's not purely a literature review. It's not subjective. It is rigorous and systematic. And by the way, it is very tedious. It's an integration of a collection of studies. We've identified several studies that we've included in this meta-analysis. It's an alternative for a narrative review. It's complementary to the narrative review. The origins of meta-analysis, let me ask you this question. This is not a very interactive group, I've noticed, but I'll ask you a question. Where do you think the origin of meta-analyses came from? Equant Josh could probably guess and get this right. Edison?
Medicine.
You know, that is almost right. Medicine has the most meta-analyses of any other discipline, and the number of analyses has grown exponentially in medicine. And one reason is it's very hard to have a control group in medicine. It does have its origins in agriculture. Most people do not know that. Carl Pearson was credited with the first meta-analysis in 1904, over 100 years ago. Carl Pearson has also been credited with many other breakthroughs in modern statistics 100 years ago. A Tippett discussed it in agricultural terms in 1931. Ron Fisher discussed the ideas also in 1931 in agricultural context. The term meta-analysis was coined by Eugene Glass in 1976, and he's been known as the father of meta-analysis. It's been used in economics since the early 1980s, mainly in environmental. By the way, there will be a conference on meta-analysis with the theme of environmental economics this October at Oregon State University. The origins, mainly statistical. We got Carl Pearson, Tippett, and William Cochran. And I'd like to show these images because these are the same people who kind of developed the statistics we use for pretty much everything else we do. Okay, to conduct a meta-analysis, one has to collect studies. And where can these studies come from? Do they all have to be published in some high-level journal? No, they do not. And I'm going to ask for some help on this. They can be published. We need to include peer-reviewed journals, conference proceedings such as the Beltwides, or other conferences. They can be unpublished research. What I refer to as a file drawer or a desk drawer. You know those studies that you conducted you weren't real happy with that you just shoved in a desk drawer? Or maybe they never were accepted by the journal? Any of you researchers have papers that never have been accepted? Don't answer the question. They could be university research reports, research bulletins, things that sit around in your file cabinet. Could be unprocessed data. Many of you are conducting research. The researchers conducted some research, wrote some reports, gave it to, I think I seen Pat walk in. Pat, yeah. You probably have conducted research, wrote a report, gave it to Pat, and that's kind of the end of that story. But those results are useful for the meta-analysis as well. It doesn't have to be anything necessarily in print, because I'm, as a researcher using meta-analysis, I'm interested in your numerical results. I thought I had this list, but maybe on a different version. There's another type of unpublished research that I call the File 13 research that you may have conducted that didn't make it into your desk drawer. You just put it in File 13. You know where File 13 is? Come on, guys, help me out. Where's File 13? Trash can, right. Now, I think those are useful as well, because this leads us to the idea of publication bias. Why do we hesitate by keeping an article? Why do we hesitate by keeping a paper that we've written that's been rejected? Why was it rejected? It wasn't sexy enough. Can you elaborate on that? Well, most of us have already been in a meeting this morning. This is my second one, so I'm wide awake. Thanks, Pat, by the way. What about significance? If something's not significant, is it likely to be published? No, it's not. Is that right or wrong? Just because a coefficient is not significant, does that mean that there's no value to be added to the knowledge base? No, that doesn't mean that at all. So a lot of these unpublished studies are very, very useful to a meta-analysis. And actually, meta-analysis is very good at diagnosing a problem referred to as publication bias. Publication bias does exist in the literature because editors, reviewers may not accept articles that don't have the magic significance level, the p-value. Sometimes researchers will see that p-value, not bother even submitting the paper to the journal. That's publication bias. That's something that we can run diagnostics on in a meta-analysis and even correct for that with some analytical techniques. So why conduct a meta-analysis? Well, many of us are what I consider, the researchers here are probably applied researchers. We're actually doing something practical, or we like to think we're practical, hopefully. We're trying to make sense of a hodgepodge of research findings. Originally, my original meta-analysis was in the Midwest on corn response to nitrogen, and many of my agronomic colleagues in the Midwest told me, do not open that can of worms, because it is a hodgepodge of research findings. I took their heed and changed my topic, but I think anything's going to be a hodgepodge. It will be a can of worms. And meta-analysis is useful for determining if there is something underlying that we can gather from those studies. A meta-analysis is known for discovering undiscovered findings that exist in the literature with quantitative techniques. A meta-analysis is very useful as part of a preliminary benefit-cost analysis. And this is the way we're treating it for this study. So the steps that we have taken for this meta-analysis include choosing a topic. And our topic was dealing with the Cotton Man program. So Diana Danforth, if you know Diana, she's been instrumental in the Cottonman program throughout the years at the University of Arkansas. And I got together, selected the Cottonman program as a topic. And so and this is part of a larger benefit cost analysis, kind of a preliminary exploratory study. Diana collected a representative sample of studies, and she gave them to me. And I canvassed through these studies, picking out numerical as well as qualitative information and put them into my meta database. I found, out of the stack of papers she had given me, I had found four studies that had numerical results that were useful for the meta-analysis, which was fairly small. But these four papers contained 16 effect sizes, meaning there were 16 results total for the four papers. Now, the things I'm looking for is a number and some sort of variance or standard error for that number, because each study we conduct, the conclusion we come up with isn't an absolute number. It's really a range, maybe a distribution, and I need to know both. The studies that we had found, these four studies represented Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. So I spent a considerable amount of time going through these and constructing the database. I want to emphasize how much it's fairly tedious to put all this stuff together. And when I did my first one, I was a student. Now that I'm not a student anymore, I don't like tedium. I'm more, my lights are on. Okay, got 2 minutes. The database is constructed of continuous and binary variables, meaning that some of these numbers are literally numbers, other ones are yes or no. And then I performed a statistical analysis. I performed a meta regression on the data. The metrics I had found that included in this study were the economic application of pesticides, economic cutout, heat units, nodes above Whiteflower 5. These other effect sizes ranked from smallest to largest, went from zero to almost 900 heat units for the economic cutout, heat units after nodes above Whiteflower 5. I ranked sorted these out by effect sizes by year. This is from the first to the last study. And we looked at the summary data by the pest. The pest is on the left side. For instance, beet army worm, the study that had discussed it was 390 heat units after NAWF5. So this is where we are in our study. We only had 16 effect sizes, but that's actually enough to conduct a meta-analysis. We are looking for additional studies. We're coding additional studies as we find them. We're going to check for and correct for publication bias and homogeneity. Homogeneity exists because, guess what? There's only very few people who publish about Cottonman. So we're seeing the same names over and over and over. I've got to deal with that. So this is where I'm going to ask for your help. Meta-analysis has been a useful methodology in its objective way of synthesizing our knowledge. It is time-intensive to construct this database. I'm collecting more studies and I need your help. Please, if you have any studies, please send them my way, whether they're file drawer, desk drawer, trash can, or if you can otherwise recommend studies that we should include in this. And I do have 40 seconds left over. And this is my contact information if you want to discuss this or help us out in any way. What we're trying to do is determine if there is any synthesis in the data or synthesize the data, see if there is convergence of this information across studies.
Okay, thank you.